Well, good morning. All right, look at the Christmas decor. It is that season, that time, right? We talk about just coming out of Thanksgiving, but Christmas will be here. Nobody's excited about that? Come on. I love this time of the year. You can shop now easily on Amazon. Already got some of the women excited here. I was like, I need a new Christmas shirt, you know. And so I'm scrolling around, you know, looking, and this nice big one. Jesus is the reason for the season. So it is on its way. So if I'm going to wear one, might as well preach the gospel while I'm wearing it, right? So it's not here yet, so I'm dressed in red. All right. Man, what a great time. What awesome baptisms. Praise God. All those that are putting the old man to rest and being resurrected in newness of life. I'm telling you, if you hadn't done that, you need to consider it. Listen, if it was good enough for Jesus, it ought to be good enough for us. Amen? So I encourage you in that. And I hear, man, a whole new group of men. Recently we just had our men's rally and rocked it and got another group that's met upstairs. They said they had to drag in, put more chairs up. And come on, yeah, that's awesome. And got another group that's starting during the week, I think on Thursday night. That's rocking. Women's brunch coming up. And we're looking at some women's curriculum, some things that could coincide with our men's curriculum. So we're looking at some of that as we move forward. So we got some great things that are happening. Discipleship is taking place. And it's just vital that you're a part of that process. It's amazing to be a part of a Sunday morning and just to experience the corporate worship and that prophetic anointing and that flow. That was on my heart real strong this morning. And I was just anticipating a word, you know, and something that I felt like God was just going to do outside of the message to just specifically speak into our hearts. And then Wayne steps up and just begins in that flow. And I hope that you really took that to heart and understood some things, some truths, some principles, some things that God, you know, he wants us to be victorious, but there's a part that we play in that. Amen? Or oh me. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for our time together. Thank you for having your way in our lives. And Father, as we just look to you, look to your word, Father, today, we thank you for just the continual ministry flow right here this morning, that you just continue to speak to our hearts and our lives and make that deposit in us and bring the inward transformation, that which is lasting, that which is enduring, that which will cause us to become all that you've created for us to become. And Lord, that we can accomplish those things that you've put before us to accomplish and do. So, Father, we commit this time to you. Cause me to speak as an oracle of God with prophetic utterance and your heart of love and compassion, and that each one of us would receive the measure and the portion that you have for us today. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Well, we are continuing in our Christmas series on Chosen. And I don't know if you watched any of the Chosen series, but sometimes they stretch a little bit here and there, you know. I like it because they really kind of like the message translation, you know. It's not an authorized, but it sometimes expounds or gives some insight into some of the things that are being said. And with the Chosen, sometimes they bring in some real life stuff, you know, and they've really run that through, you know, a lot historically. They have some rabbis that are on board that are really consulting and helping them through some of that to get a good backstory. And here's what really could have been happening. And so you see that in process. And what you find is you know, that I love about the show, The Chosen, is that it helps us realize how just normal individuals that they were. Just normal men, women, children, that it's just the way life was lived in those days, and hopefully it relates to us in understanding where we're at today. Because the reality is sometimes we think, man, what a time it would have been to have lived in that time, right? Come on, I mean, if you could have just walked up, you know, and been one of the ones, you know, listening to Jesus right there in person, watching him open blind eyes, seeing that person be raised up from the dead. I mean, come on, somebody, that's like, wow, that's cool, right? But here's the reality. God knew he needed you and I at this moment in history. Maybe we weren't born during that time, but you know what? We're here now. And there are things that God has for us right now. And we need to consider that and give honor to God in that and begin to really take and become more intentional and more aware of what exactly are those things that's happening. You know, Hector's dad just passed away this morning, and I was visiting with Hector yesterday, and he was talking about, you know, when they you know, called hospice in, and you know, his mom went to heaven just recently, and dad was just in this place, you know, he's ready to go, and so he was in that place to where, you know, it looked like he was going and going fast, and all of a sudden it's like, boom, he just had this resurgence, you know, of alertness and energy, and all the family gathers, and he's speaking to them. And then he makes this statement to Hector. He said, when I look at my children and what I have been able to pass on in faith to them, I feel I have done my job. And he told Hector, he said, I'm ready. Come on, that's a good place to be. When you know that you know that you know that you are ready, that you have finished your race, and you have done what you needed to do. And so there's something, I believe, even in this message this morning, because I want to talk to you about the mission and how the mission chooses us. Recently, I was listening to some interviews and things. You know, we had, oh my goodness, politics. Ugh. But you know, the House, you know, in D.C., you know, they were going through it. You know, they had voted out the last speaker, the GOP speaker, and they were, you know, there was all these guys that were jockeying for position. They wanted the job. And all of them kept getting voted down. And it was like, man, this has become a circus. It was just ridiculous. And all of a sudden, here's this guy that gets nominated that is an ultra conservative. I mean, he's more conservative than the guy that was there or the other guys that they were nominating. And there was a bunch of holdouts because they were too conservative. And yet here's a guy that is strong. Soon as he is nominated and voted in, he holds a prayer meeting in the House. Come on. He's like, there they are on bended knees, man, before God praying. And I'm like, how did he get there? Oh, but God. And he made a statement. He said, sometimes we chase after positions and we try to choose mission, but he said, there's times when mission chooses us. Oh, let that sink in right now. Because I believe mission has chosen us. Here in, when we think about Jesus and we think about that setting and the birth, and this is that season, this is that time, and there's so many in the Christmas story where that is what's happened, right? Let's look at this. Here in Isaiah chapter 9, 6 and 7, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. And upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Now here's the thing. It starts off, "Unto us a child is born," where this thing ends up with the fullness of the reign of Christ. We are somewhere in between. We have not fulfilled, and neither has he, all that he's going to do for his kingdom in its establishment. Now, I think we're definitely closer. You know, you look at what's happening around the world, especially with all the stuff that's going on in Israel and all the focus and all the eyes are upon, you know, little Israel over there, and somehow in God's timeline, in God's ultimate plan for humanity, we're in this, and we don't know the day or the hour. It could be today that Jesus returns. It could be tomorrow. It could be next week. It could be next year. It could be years out. But wherever it's at in this time frame of the mission, we need to pay attention and be intentional to live our lives missional. And that's what was going on. Now, when we think about mission, you know, mission has a calling. It begins, I believe, you think about mission, it's got a calling. There's mission's calling that's there. Think about young Mary, when the angel of the Lord shows up and begins to address this young teenager, and how she was going to be able to have, and she didn't know how it was going to happen. You see the whole conversation. I won't go into all the details of that. But even in that, we know that there was a mission that was calling. Now, you know, with mission, sometimes we don't always understand the full spectrum of that or what you're going to go through with that, what it's going to cost. But it's got a calling. And here's young Mary, this virgin, that is now going to conceive and carry the Savior of the world. And we're like, woohoo! But man, did she pay a price. And it wasn't just on the front end. You see later, you know, after Jesus is born and they show up at the temple, Simeon's there and he begins to prophesy of the things that the Christ would do and accomplish. But he also said, and there will be a piercing of your soul because of the pain of what she would see her baby boy go through to be able to have the sin of the world come upon him, to be able to carry that burden and take it to the cross, and to be able to be the ultimate intercessor between God and man, and to pave the way so that now the Lamb of God would shed blood once and for all for the sins of humanity. Think about Joseph. Come on, think about it. Come on, guys, how would you like to show up and it's like, where'd that come from? What just happened? Well, you know, I had this angel show up. Uh-huh. And the Holy Spirit came upon me. Come on. And Because here's the thing. He had to go ahead and marry her and not know her. Know her. You know, the Bible is, you know, sometimes I think it's the King James that tries to make it G-rated. It ain't G-rated. Read the Bible. So for the whole time until Jesus is born, come on, how many of you dudes are like, come on, I married you. I put the ring on. You're telling me what? I can't, what? Come on. Look at what they had to do. They had to flee for their lives, go down to Egypt, come back. I mean, there's just, you see all this turmoil and all this stuff going on and yet missions calling. Sometimes we're like, well, if it was God, it'd be easy. Come on. Wayne, I feel like flowing right in that prophetic vein where we're at this morning. Sometimes you got to realize that the things of God, and when they come, they're worth fighting for. And sometimes you need to realize, fight for it. Get in that place to where it's like, you know what? I want to see what God has in store for my life. And and in that mission's calling, he's always looking for that level of faithfulness. And tests will come. Do you really mean that? Are you really going to endure this? Are you going to persevere? Are you going to stop chasing the gold at the end of the rainbow? Listen, you look at Noah. Noah was not a rainbow chaser. Noah was a covenant maker. And when he made covenant with God, he stuck with it. Did he experience the rainbow? Oh, yeah. But he wasn't chasing the rainbow. He wasn't chasing the promise. And sometimes we got to realize that we got to stay the course and we got to be in. Man, am I feel like that. Somebody really needs to hear this, because I believe that somehow out of this message today, that in missions calling, there are some, God wants to see you accomplish some incredible things. But you don't know in the beginning. You don't know. And you may be here this morning and all of a sudden you're feeling a little antsy. You're feeling that thing, you know, where it's like, I'm feeling real comfortable, or you feel that's the Spirit of God and he's stirring something in your heart. And I know, you know, maybe you feel like that, man, somebody invited me to this church today and I'm sitting here and now I am feeling like God has snuck up on me. Well, you're right. I call him Jehovah Sneaky. I've had him sneak up on me plenty of times. I remember when I was still just you know everything in me. I knew that I was called of God. I knew that was there, and I was working construction and had been working out at Goodfellow and in the church. This was way back there, guys. It was out there on the south side of Goodfellow, our church was located out there, and I'm driving by, and it's lunchtime. I'm going to get lunch. And I thought, and I just had been in prayer. I'd been fasting and just knew that God was asking something more of me. I didn't exactly know what. I really had this crazy thought that I felt like God was asking me to work with the youth. Come on, how many of you have ever had a crazy thought? And I was thinking, and so finally, I'm just at this place, and it just wouldn't leave me. And I'm like, I got to get this off of me. And so I just literally whooped in, drove up, got out of the truck, walked in the office. Because I'm thinking, okay, you know, surely he's going to be busy. He'll be gone. You know, the pastor, this isn't going anywhere. This was just the bad food that I ate. And I walk in, and I ask the secretary, I said, is Pastor John here? And all of a sudden, he steps out, And he steps out and he says, "Hey, hello, Walt Landers, come on back." So he sits down and I'm there. And he's like, "So what's going on?" I said, "Pastor," I just keep having this thought that I'm supposed to volunteer, supposed to help with the youth, and they had a great youth pastor. I mean a rock. I mean, this guy was awesome. I mean, he had grown that thing. The youth loved this man. Awesome guy. And so I was thinking, okay, I'm just going to help support, just volunteer, And so sitting there, and so I'm like, "Pastor," I said, I feel like I'm, dealing with this thing, like I'm supposed to help with the youth. And I said, I know that you got Pastor Billy, but is this me or is this really God? I mean, I'm trying to. And all of a sudden, he looks at me, and he leans back in his chair, and he starts rubbing his chin. Come on, how many of you remember Pastor John? Oh, yeah, it was the mustache. And he's looking up at the ceiling, and he looks at me. He said, "Has someone talked to you?" I said, "No." And he said, "So you don't know anything?" And now I'm feeling like I've been set up. He said, "So you didn't know that Pastor Billy resigned last night? Now I really know I'm set up." And I'm thinking, "God, you did this." I'm like, "I didn't sign up for this. I was just going to help. I didn't want the whole enchilada. I didn't want that position." And guess what? Became the youth pastor. Boot heels dragging. I mean, I wanted to be used of God. Be careful when you say, "God, just use me." We sang that song. "I just give you my love. I give you myself. I give you it all." Oh, that's a dangerous prayer. All of a sudden, you're there and you're hearing, "I need you in the nursery." I rebuke you, Satan. Mission is calling. Come on. I said, "Mission is calling." Oh, my goodness. You can look up later. I got these other scriptures. Matthew 1:23. Let me get to number two. I got to stay the course. Mission has timing. Yes, there's a calling, but mission has timing. And sometimes we don't always understand all of it. It's like we can ask all the whys, and sometimes we don't find those whys out until later. You can look back, and all of a sudden you see why God was maybe preparing you and why he was doing things for this moment now. All of a sudden there's a timing involved. But there's a timing. There was a timing for Jesus. I love Galatians 4:4-5. It says, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons," or as children of God. There was a specific time in that. If you really look at the overall, of the Roman rule and what had taken place years prior, and the roads that had been built, under that government, even though it wasn't good, but it was sometimes any government's better than no government. And so there was an element of peace. There was an element of order, if you will, in a lot of ways, and to where you could travel. You had common language. You had certain things that was just kind of set in place so that when Jesus showed up in that moment, in that time, the world was prepared so that this gospel could just spread throughout the known world. God knew, and God had a timing. And God knows our lives, and there's a timing. You know, there's times when it's like, now would be a good time, God. I don't know how many of you have been there. Like, but what is at work in the process? See, God is more interested in who we are becoming than what we'll ever do. He's into the process, folks. That's why the Bible speaks in terms of he's the potter. We're the clay. Oh, but that doesn't feel right. Hang in there. He's not done with the making. Hang in there. He's still at work. Hang in there. Come on. You need to realize perseverance is a major part of this thing. Your commitment, your perseverance. God, sometimes God has so much more on the other side of this, but he can't get us there until we've been proven and there's some things that are working. There's some things he's working out of us to get more in us. And some of you need to stop hanging on to some of those things and start looking at those things as an enemy. Sometimes the only way you're going to defeat those things that you know are not pleasing to God is to see that they're an enemy to your destiny of where God is wanting to take you. Until you see that more than, I'm forgiven. I mean, okay, yeah, I blow it, you know, and I just ask forgiveness. No, you haven't fully grasped that God can't get you ultimately where he wants to take you and use you in the powerful way he wants to use you, do the incredible things that he might want to do with your life, because he can't get you to really focus and understand that those things are an enemy to your destiny. Because if he promoted you, if he allowed you to grow into that, if he allowed you in that place of leadership, wow. And we see that at times. So many, they mess this up in life because they don't deal with those things. And the Bible says that it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Sometimes it's the little things. Maybe there's no big issues right now. See, I think it's all subject to where you're at, what level. Come on, new levels, new devils. I had to tell someone here a while back, they were, really going through it. And it's like, why? I'm like, God's got something big time for you. And you need to understand the devil's afraid of that. So that's why sometimes we end up in that fight the way we end up. Because he's afraid of what will happen. Man. So there's timings that we need to look at. And then I believe there's that mission has a prophetic life. Mission, whenever I look at my life and I look at where, just in those early beginnings to where I am today and with all that we do and in different areas and different things that are happening we got this new building phase over here with the children's area and things that's about to start, hopefully, praise God, after the first of the year. We're working through that process now. And with that, it's just, when I look at that prophetic and how God led, how God directed, and sometimes it's just so far beyond me. And I just remember, you know, I've shared some of these stories, but I felt, you know, in this message, in Chosen, to kind of circle back into some personal stories and some things to maybe help some of you that are coming behind. Because, you know, whenever I look I got some years ahead of me, and I want to finish strong. I want to finish in the will of God, and I'm believing for a lot more years. But at whatever level or whatever timing, you know, when I check out of here, I want to make sure that I have passed some things on. And so whenever I look at it, it just, you know, when Joanne and I, because we were bivocational through all those years in youth ministry and doing outreach and all the things that we were doing and serving, you know, leading small groups and just volunteering in the nursery. Do I need to say that again? And I didn't get paid by a nursery worker. Just Crystal didn't pay me to say that. And we were just, I mean, being faithful. We'd come to the early service, and it was ending. Joy and I were headed back to work in the nursery. And Pastor John looked out and said, "Walt Landers, I need to see you right here in the green room." Joanne immediately looks at me and said, "What'd you do wrong?" I'm like, feeling like I got called to the principal's office. I'm like, what did I do? How did I mess up? What did I do? I'm trying to think. And he's so intense and so serious. I had no idea how later I learned how God had spoke to him so clearly, and the fear of God was wrapped up in that for him. He was going to obey God. And I didn't even make it into the green room. It's a little hallway in between, kind of like over here. And in the hallway, he just grabs me by my shirt, puts me against the wall, and says, "There's a pastor that is retiring, a church that needs a pastor, and God spoke to me to send you, and I'm going to obey God. I send you. Now it's up to you and them." And he just walks off. I'm like, what the heck just happened? I walk out. I go back to the nursery, and Joanne's like, What'd John want? What did Pastor John want? I'm like, "You won't believe it." I said, "I'll have to tell you later." I mean, I couldn't even. I'm walking around like a zombie, you know. I'm like, what just happened? I just got sent to pastor some church. I thought he said Elkhart instead of Lockhart. Almost went to the wrong city. And we began to travel and preach and minister. And next thing I know, they said yes. We said, she said yes. And she was pregnant with the youngest, with Lindsay. We had littles. I went from making what I would make in a week to having to make that in a month. Oh, you'll find out where you're at. Do you really want to be called? Are you willing to sign up? Now, listen, I watch God's faithfulness. I watch him provide. Listen, some of us, we're caught up too much feeling like that I'm the provider. You know what I found out? In some of those times and places, God became the provider. Amen? Now, did I still work and did I still? Absolutely did my part and all that, but I watched supernatural things happen. We watched people give, sow, do things. I mean, it was just incredible to live that journey of faith. Some of you are so tied to your security when the call of God comes. Some of you just hanging on. Instead of right now, trust him in even the smallest areas. It may be walking out there and by faith getting one of those tags off of that board for House of Faith and give that $25 to be able to provide a gift for a kid. And that may be a stretch for you. Our family is gathering up stuff for the women's home that Pastor Aaron, you know, that Jaira House has, because of their needs. This is a great time. I love this season. Where we can be outside of ourselves. Where we can demonstrate our generosity. Where we can live mission. But all the way through, whenever I look at all the different things, even this last one, being in Abilene, I know it's by that prophetic word. And by where we're at today, it's because of the call of God, because of mission. And sometimes it doesn't always come just because I got a prophetic word. Sometimes it's just because it's the right thing to do. And I have it within my means to be able to do something. So please don't misunderstand. Well, I got to get 3 dreams and a vision before I can do that. Sometimes it's the need that moves us, that just says, do something. Make a difference. Be the difference in our world. But that prophetic has just given guidance so much to the things that I believe where we're at today as a church, where I'm at in my life. Is because of the voice of the Lord, because of his guidance, that divine guidance, there's just something that happens in that. When I think about, you know, when we ended up in Midland, Texas. Come on, Midland. I didn't want to go to Midland. We applied for our charter school to go to Abilene. I feel like I was supposed to be in Abilene. And I got denied, and next thing I know, this little bird comes from the state and says, if you'll go to Midland, then you can have the other things that you're asking for. So we end up in Abilene. But before we did, you know, we applied for Abilene, and it was like crazy. Time was running out. I thought, well, it's not going to happen. And the crazy thing is, earlier that year, Prophet Ed Trout was here, and as he was leaving the platform, he had already ministered, finished, and everything. He's walking off the platform, and all of a sudden he stops and looks at me, and he says, I see your influence going to Midland. I should have moved right then. Instead, I'm waiting on the state. Well, I waited on the state, and we were behind. And I look back at that moment, and I think, what would have happened if by faith I had a word from the prophet, if I'd have started at least some effort, how much easier would that have possibly been? Juan's like, amen to that. Some of the rest of the team. But it was prophetic. Is God put a dream in your heart? Has he spoke something to you? Is there something that's moving you? And you've got to back up. You've got to look at what's the timing in that. Don't get out ahead of God. Don't try to help God out. There are things that you do, you just got to wait on him. But are you preparing? Are you doing the things that's going to, so that when that comes, you're ready? I thank God, you know, when Joanne and I were headed to Lockhart, fortunately, we had already positioned ourselves. We were debt free. We had income. We had things that set us up to be able to pursue what God had put before us. Are you preparing? Do you have that thing prophetically that you know that something's coming? And are you in that place? Lastly is this, you know, because there was a whole lot of things about Jesus' life and ministry, and you go through it, and I've taught you and talked about, you know, in the little mini book, Mystery of Eternity, and the amount of prophecies about Jesus, just the ones surrounding his birth, it makes it naturally, humanly impossible to fulfill that many prophecies about Jesus that were written. You can go to Micah, and you look at Micah, and Micah has so many prophetic words in this about Jesus. Even where, how, all of those kinds of things. See, God's not taken by surprise. Sometimes we feel like we are, but God's not. And I believe that here's the reality. God wants his will for our lives more than we could ever want it. But if you'll give God your yes to the mission, oh man, you'll see mission's purpose fulfilled in your life. Mission's purpose. It'll begin to make sense. Mission's purpose. All of a sudden, you begin to get moved in this place with this sense of purpose, and all of a sudden there is a just a knowing that I'm fulfilling God's purpose. And as I'm doing that, your life takes on significance. As long as we're just living for ourselves, you lack that. That's why so many people, they get distraught. They get caught up in all kinds of other stuff that they're chasing, because they're trying to fill that void of significance. But when you can connect to God's purpose, all of a sudden, that significance, you begin to understand, I'm able to do this. Whatever that is. And listen, I know that I'm talking in terms, a lot because of my own life about ministry, preaching, doing that. Listen, that is a very small calling. To do what I'm doing in just this role, and sometimes you make that out to be a big deal in the church. Listen, there are some of you that with the prayer life that you have, your rewards will be so much greater. Your faithfulness to pray, your faithfulness to serve, your faithfulness to work in the different areas and to make the difference. I'm telling you, it's all of us together. Don't think, well, there's that. I mean, listen. How many of you appreciate the mouth that God's given you? But how many are even more grateful that you got some eyes? That you got some ears, that you got some hands, that you got some feet, that you have some, your heartbeat, your lungs, your breath, there is so much that makes up this body. In the body of Christ, all the different parts, and some of them that are unseen are more vital than those that are seen. I recently had somebody that one of our pastors was counseling, and they're wanting to go in the ministry. And this individual has an incredible job, makes a ton of money, and they are a generous person. They are a giver. And they're wanting to quit all of that to go over here and do this. And one of our pastors, he just wanted to know, okay, was this okay to say this? Because I just feel like God said, are you crazy? What you're doing is having more significance and more impact on us being able to fulfill the mission that God's called us to than if you fill this other role and quit all of that. Sometimes God's saying, don't quit your day job. Keep doing what you're doing. Stay in that sphere of influence. Make money. Give. Use it. Let your money be on a mission. Let your life be on a mission. Sometimes we glamorize certain things, folks. I don't know why I'm off in that, but somebody's got to hear that. Because maybe God is wanting to absolutely bless your socks off. Maybe he's going to make you a millionaire. I don't know. Maybe he's got an idea that you need to pursue. There's something that you have an idea for that nobody else has thought about it, or it's going to be different. It's going to be unique. It's going to have a means and a way to get into the marketplace. And all of a sudden, you now have resources to be able to bring to the kingdom of God. How awesome would that be? It's all of us together living out God's mission. When we look at the Christmas story, man, I'm telling you, it's all about the mission. But the reality is, in kingdom-centric, we are still all about the mission. What is God calling us to do? Let's stand to our feet this morning. Some of you, I feel like, took a fresh next-level step just following Jesus in the waters of baptism. Literally, just that simplistic step, saying, this is what the Word of God says. I'm going to be committed to the waters of baptism. And out of that, there's breakthroughs. There's breakthroughs. This morning, some of you are here, and that thing that's stirring on the inside, you don't know where that'll take you. I'm telling you, young Billy Graham, when he showed up, he got tricked by his uncle. Because him and his cousin were allowed to drive the old pickup to the camp meeting. They had an old tent set up that week. Mordecai Ham would come in, and he was preaching those revival meetings. And his uncle tricked him, said, if you'll go to the camp meetings, said, y'all can take turns driving the old pickup. Oh, man, that was a big deal back then. So they did, and they showed up. But during one of those nights, Billy and his cousin went forward. Gave their life to Jesus. Whew. Who would have known? What is it today, right here, that thing is stirring in there, that thing, and you're saying, okay, God, I'll do it. And I'm going to stay with it. I'm going to be faithful. Now, it's going to take His grace. We don't have any power within ourselves. Some of you, if you don't watch, you're going to walk out there going, bless God, I'm going to do it. And then, you better be saying, God, I need you. But I give you my all. I surrender it all to you. Some of you may need to say yes to Jesus this morning to just simply make Him the Lord and Savior of your life. Some of you may need to rededicate your life. Why not right here this morning at the Life Church to say yes and let God be God in your life? Some of you, you have no idea the impact that your life will have if you determine, this morning I'm making that commitment. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to be in church. I want to raise my family. Because it's not just about you. It's about, all of a sudden, those that are coming behind you. What about your children, your children's children? What starts happening? What you set in motion so many times with your commitment and your decision? And we don't always see it in this lifetime. I think that, because I've seen it happen. Some of the faithfulness of some family members that go on that wasn't able to see that person come to Christ, but they did later, they'll get to see it. Because that's what heaven will reveal. Man, would you offer yourself to Him? As we sing this last song before they come and close out this service, would you just sing this song and would you make that your prayer? Jesus, I give it my all. I give you my all. Amen. God bless you.